All right, welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon here on Revolution Radio, and I'm also on PSN Radio. I'm Stephen Robertson. This is Cancel the Cabal. Well, I just talked to my guest about 5 minutes ago, so hopefully I will be able to make this work today. I'm going to try to have Billy McGuire on, once again, the president of the IRB, and Billy's site is BillyMcGuire.com. So I'm going to try to add him right now. He doesn't have Skype, and he doesn't have a home phone. They've taken that all away from him, so I'm going to try to call his cell from Ireland once again. So excuse the phone ringing here, and I hope this is going to work. I've tried it a few other times here, and I couldn't get connected. I'm sure hoping he hasn't,
Hello?
Hi, Billy.
How are you?
Hi, Billy. This is, this is Stephen. We're, live on air. It's good to get connected with you today. We're on Revolution Radio here in America.
Well, are we on live?
Yes, we are.
Well, good evening to you, Stephen, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you, and, I'm glad we got connected tonight, We've tried like...
I know, we had awful difficulties.
2 or 3 weeks in a row we tried.
Yeah, and every time, I don't know what happened, every time we could, last week I couldn't hear you, every time I tried to pick up the phone.
Yes, but I've already explained to everybody, you're the president of the IRB there in Ireland, Billy, and...
Yes, the president of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, as you know, they're sister organizations. 1858, they were founded. That's the reason why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. You know, the Fenians were around, and so were the young Irelanders. And on St. Patrick's Day in 1858, James Stephens founded the Irish Republican Brotherhood, 16 Lumber Street, and John O'Mahony founded the Fenian Brotherhood in Doheny's in New York. And out of that then came our independence. And out of that came the Irish Volunteers and Irish Citizens Army and Cumann na mBan and the Fenian and the Héireann and all our great people. And our tricolour flag, as you know, Thomas Francis Marr, he brought the flag here. And it was the orange was nearest to the pole in deference to the Presbyterian people. And the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the Fenian Brotherhood, they adopted the tricolour flag as the national flag with the green nearest to the pole. And that was ratified on the 21st of January 1919 in GHQ Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square in Granby Row, and in the Cabinet Room in the Mansion House by the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, the Executive, and by the Sovereign Republic of Ireland's Dáil Éireann government in the round room. And I think most people, you know, that's all been airbrushed out of our history, unfortunately. And well, I think it's sad.
Yes, that's some of the things I was hoping we could talk about today, Billy, some of the illusions that the Irish government perpetrate on the people over there.
Well, we don't have a government. We only have a provisional government.
Provisional, yes.
Of December 1921, which was imposed on by King George V of England. Our sovereign government comes from the 1918-32 county election by the will of all the people from GHQ Vaughan's Hotel. We bought Vaughan's Hotel for that purpose. And it's a sort of a complicated story because the sovereign government was ratified on the 21st of January 1919. That was the 1918-32 county election from GHQ Vaughan's Hotel. And it was in the Mansion House in the Round Room is where it was. Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House. It is the Royal Dáil and the Royal Oireachtas. That was imposed on the 6th of December 1921 by King George V. as a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State and the provisional government. That's what we have today in Leinster House. And unfortunately, they used our tricolour flag without our permission, and they're now using our sovereign seals. And as I said, I gave the oration at the GPO on Easter Monday, and I said that there's five governments in the state. The sovereign, the name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of Air, and the British government is in Northern Ireland, and the six-county government is in Stormont, and you have the provisional government here in Leinster House that was imposed by King George V on the 6th of December 1921, and you have the sovereign government by the will of all the people in the 1918 32 county election. That's the only state that was ever founded, and that's the only sovereign government we have. And you have the European government. But those four governments don't recognize the sovereign government by the will of all the people in the 1918 32 county election. And I think it's time that that came out, you know. And it's, and you can lead it on then to Europe and what happened. You know, on the 21st of January, Michael Collins was Minister for Finance. But on the 6th of December 1921, he was only Provisional Minister of Finance under King George V. And I think, you know, it's time all these things came out. And I do feel that it now is the time. It's our 100th anniversary of the 1916 Rising. And here they did a lot of programs for Easter. But the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, who founded the state, the Sovereign Republic of Éire, who founded the Sovereign Republic of Éire, Sovereign Dáil Éireann Government, and the Sovereign Republic of Éire, Dáil Éireann Courts, and the War of Independence as a defense force. You know, that has, we were never invited to anything by the provisional government. We only have a provisional government. And they wouldn't invite us to anything. Yet they'll use our tricolour flag. That's our tricolour flag that I was explaining to you that was put up by the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood on the GPO in 1916. And it was taken down by Dermot Lynch, and it was kept in Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square in Granby Row. And it's very important to know, to understand the 1916. First of all, you have to understand that they have here, they've airbrushed all the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They've airbrushed all the facts out of it. And as I said, RTE did a lot of, you know, probably good programs as well. But they never once contacted the Irish or Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And they never once looked at for the Vaughan's Hotel papers, which are all the records of, you know, they include all the records of 1916 and what happened in 1916. And I think that's, I mean, I don't know how RTE or the provisional government can, they're rewriting our history without the records and without the facts. You can't write, you can't, you know, those, some of them were quite good, those programs, but they're not, lots of them are not accurate. I mean, the one thing that keeps on coming out, there was no mandate, they said, for 1916. There was a very good mandate for 1916. And the mandate is and was that in 1912, Sir Edward Carson founded the Ulster Volunteers. And in 1913, they became the UVF Army because Guinness had given 100,000, Lord Rothschild had given 100,000, and Rupert Kipling had given 50,000. To buy the top-class German guns. And that, I mean, they have, it sort of came out towards the end that, oh, yes, the UVF Army had these German guns. But they never said who paid for them. And Britain colluded with that. And, I mean, if you take that, that is the intelligence officers of the Irish Republican Brotherhood reported to the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood what happened. And they founded the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizens Army as a defense force. And in that was, and in 1913, the Circle and the Cell was founded. And, you know, from the Rotunda there in Dublin. And you can't understand 1916 if you leave that out. And you can't understand what happened after that. And then in 1913, the Irish, the Supreme Council, looked for volunteers, the Circle and the Cell. And my granduncle, Tom McGuire and Sam McGuire, who was the secretary of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, they were appointed to Circle and the Cell to collect the intelligence on the Crown forces. And Sam was sent to the post office in London, and my granduncle was sent to Calcutta in India to collect the intelligence. And India's independence, which is very interesting, that came out of Vaughan Sittell. And in 1914, the UVF army declared war on Britain and Ireland if home rule was imposed by the British government. And the British government again capitulated to the UVF army. And, it's important that those facts come out. And, if Britain and if the UVF army had threatened, which they did, war on Britain and Ireland, Germany would have wiped out Britain. And so they capitulated to the UVF army, and Guinness and Lord Rothschild and Rupert Kipling, I mean, they have been rewarded for their efforts of buying those German guns, which was treason to the Crown, and the Crown and the RIC, they all colluded with that. And yet, Sir Roger Casement, who bought the few guns here, they executed him. I mean, he was hung for the same thing, for treason.
Same thing.
The whole thing is so, and those facts should come out. And I said on Easter Monday at the oration at the GPO, and I gave the five, I've gave you the five governments here, and they won't. Now, the Crown of England, this is where it goes back to 1155. The Crown is not sovereignty. The Crown is royalty. It's the harp, is sovereignty. And the Crown's, and this was happened in the 6th of December, 1921, from King George V. I mean, their empire and everything else. But they don't have, the British government don't have a sovereign government. They have a royal government and royal court of justice is what they have. But they don't have a sovereign government. And they used when they wanted to join Europe at the time, with De Gaulle, and that he wouldn't allow Britain it was the common market at the time, the EEC, because Britain didn't have a sovereign government. They have a royal government. A royal government is not a sovereign government. A royal government, royalty is pomp and servant, and ceremony, which the British do pretty well, wearing a crown on your head and waving to your subjects. But, they used our sovereign government of the 21st of January 1919 by the will of all the people. That's the sovereignty they used. And David Cameron said the other day that when Britain about leaving Europe and that the British people are sovereign. The British people are not sovereign. They're subjects to the Crown. You can't be subject to the Crown and sovereign at the same time.
No, you can't.
And sorry, Stephen?
I said, no, you can't.
No, you can't. Well, they're trying to claim they are. And this won't. There's one paper or one person will interview the Irish Athenian Republican Brotherhood on the sovereignty. Nobody here. RT won't do it. We weren't interviewed by anybody. We're not allowed to say that, And that's propaganda, lies, and deception. And I think there's no place in the world for that today. And General de Gaulle, he would not allow Britain. And because they didn't have a sovereign government. They have a royal government, and their defense, their force is an army. It's a royal, it's a crown force, but it's not a sovereign. It's the might and the power is what they, but it's the will of the people. You see the difference between us and Britain, and goes back to the Roman Empire and that, and the Celtic Irish people. Celtic Irish people are harp. The harp is the covenant between God and man with all the information, knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. And everything is on that. Tutankhamun, you go back to Egypt, you go back. And the sovereign seal is Anno Domini 2016. It has the two images from wrong to right. And the first four strings of the harp are earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. Those first four strings, it's the first computer known to mankind, and it's God's greatest gift to mankind to build his civilization. And if you take it, the first string, it's the Om alphabet, it's the Om language, which is the first structured language of mankind. The second is hieroglyphics. And if you take Tutankhamun, it's all about your being and your five senses and how you understand planet Earth. And that's what King David was teaching. You know, this thing about, it's just the first computer known to mankind. You couldn't, Tutankhamun, that's his sovereign seal. If anybody wants to know about more about the harp and the sovereign seal and about your intellect and your five senses, if you go into billymaguire.com, or into IrishRepublicanBrotherhood.ie. I believe it's up on that, and I believe the boys tell me, you know, they've cut off my landline and my broadband, so I've never seen it, but they tell me there's over 3 million hits on that. And it's every child, the Celtic people believe that every child is born sovereign and has a sovereign right to all the assets of the state, and the first four strings are earth, air, fire, and water. And you know how you look after yourself, hospital care, education, and it's all about your being, and it's all about you being a sovereign citizen. And if you haven't got sovereignty, you're a slave. And unfortunately, the Roman Empire and the Roman Catholic, that's why slavery, you know, that's how those Roman and those empires, they're all based on slavery. But we don't believe in slavery today. We believe that every child is born sovereign and has a sovereign right to those first four strings. And if you look at the harp, and you look at the, you know, the top of it is the sonship. And you look at the strings, your measure and tape, your plumb line, your straight edge. It's your, the abacus, how men learn to count, how men learn to write. You know, what a wonderful symbol, going right back to civilization of mankind and how you build. And once you go on that, you can understand planet Earth that we all live on and we all share. And it's there. And I think that, you know, that's all we do. We're not a political organization or that. And we don't believe in having armies. We believe in having a defense force. That's what we have. And the sovereign trinity, the sunship and the moonship, and how man, you know, the calendar, the 12 months calendar, which Tutankhamun had, it all comes from the harp and how you understand it. And I think there's a wonderful, and every child in the world is born sovereign and can understand that. And that's the great gift to mankind, you know. Anyway, yes. Steve, I'm probably going on a bit too much.
No, you're fine, Billy. This is some of the things I was hoping we could get into. The revolution of 1960, I guess it was a revolution, yes, wasn't it?
It was. And it goes back, as Chris Fogarty, you know, he wrote a great book there recently. It goes back to the Holocaust and here in what happened in the country. And what happened was the Crown of England, they took over all the land of Ireland for themselves and all those landlords' estates. And all that food was taken out of this country by the Crown forces to feed the Crown forces. It all went for war. And you never take the harp to war. The harp is never taken. And yet you look at the coat of arms of the Crown of England, and it's, as I said, the Crown gets the royalty. The harp is sovereignty. And yet they won't admit that. And that is what caused all the trouble here. It caused the famine, taking all the food, but it was taken out for the Crown forces for war. And of course, the Hebrew people, they lost the sovereignty, the harp, I refer to King David playing. What he was teaching was, he was teaching the first string, your measuring tape, your plumb line, your straight edge, Tutankhamun. That's how the Egyptian civilization came about. That's how mankind lives on planet Earth. And you can understand that, you know. And you look at the top of that. That's the sunship, carrying the sun. from the rising sun to the setting sun. And you turn it, and the other side is the moon ship coming in the opposite direction. And you take the curved side of that. That is the fellows, the wheel, how the wheel was invented by mankind. And if you continue that circle round, it comes around a circle, and you see the strings become the spokes. And then you go to the eye, which is the hub. And if anybody goes to Termini in Rome, and you see the basilica there, and you see up at the top of the basilica, you'll see where there's a hole, the same as that hole, which is the hub of the wheel. And when the light, the sun shines through that hole, it runs along the ground. And that's the, for the Roman Catholic Church, you can't have a Roman Catholic Church. I mean, Easter Sunday, which we just had, is the most important day in the Roman Catholic Church, because that's the ascension of Christ into heaven. But how can you determine that if you don't have a 12-month calendar? And the moon has a 12-month calendar, all from the heart. And the Easter Sunday is the first full moon when the sun strikes the floor. And of course, it's all about mathematics, science, and astrology, and how it comes into being. And if you go to those circles, that we have the biggest one here in County Limerick, in Loch Garr, and you have the clock in Clarshick, the harp stone sits on that, and you have the Rannachan dove stone, which has the first string, which is the first string of the harp is the Om alphabet, and the second is hieroglyphics. You know how man learned to write. And you turn the harp upside down, and on the curved side of the inside, you see the crescent moon, you know, and then you keep turning it around. Everything you want to know is on that. And, you know, when you turn put the two harps together, and between the strings, you have the grid and the graph, how man learned to weave his clothes, you know, his tread. And what they did was, if you see the eye there again, go down to the eye of the harp. And Copernicus, Galileo, and they all threaded the first string to the eye, and they followed the sun ship, which is the top round. It goes round the sun, it goes round the circle, then becomes the arc of the sky, and it goes down underneath. So that's how they discovered that the world was circular and globular. And when they put the two together, then the two harps together, you know, you get all the grid and the graph, you get all the measurements, how maps are made, where the strings meet, latitude and longitude. And I think it's wonderful for children, because that's how you learn all the basics of all civilization. All our ancestors all knew that. And they knew that was a simple, truthful, mathematical, that every child can understand. And that's why, that's truth, knowledge and information. And it's very simple, and I think children should know about that today. And if you put the difference between the harp and the psalter, the book of Psalms, I said, is the psalter, and that's the psalter. It has the two images from wrong to right, evil to good, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. And if you put that, that's Anno Domini 2016, this year. But the harp is the covenant, which is old. It's only got one image. If you put that up to the mirror, You only see the harp. But if you put up the solvent seal, the psaltery, up to the mirror, you see the solvent seal, which you're looking at, and you see the harp as in the reflection. And that's the moonship. And the moonship controls all the cycles of life and all the tides. And the solvent seal, it grows all the bio and biomass. It's this, the sun rays, you know, the reflection from that, and the moon beams. And you get into it after a while, and you begin to see, and then you go to the sun box and the sound box of the heart. And that's the first calendar. It's the 6 months, you know, the winter and summer solstice. And that arc, you see the arc, how everything grows up to that on the 21st of June, and then everything goes back down again. So that's a bigger arc. So that's the arc of the sky as well. So it has many meanings and many different calculations. And, you know, how we understand life and how your five senses. And I said that we have the 12 strings, which is the first four strings. I said is the first computer known to mankind. God's greatest gift to mankind to build our civilization. And the first string, I said, was the Om, which is the first structured language of mankind. The second is hieroglyphics. And you can still, you can see that going back along when you get to see it. You can, they're all, our ancestors all knew all that because that's all they had in those days. And how man learned to write, how man learned to count, you know, how man learned to measure. And I think it's important, the harp. And it, that's why the Queen has the harp up on her coat of arms. Say the Queen is in Buckingham Palace today and she wants to go to Windsor. Well, she has to carry the sovereign seal at all times. And say she's leaving Buckingham Palace, the standard is taken down with the sovereign seal on it and the Union Jack is flown. And she goes to Windsor and the Union Jack is taken down and the standard is flown. The Union Jack is flown and the Queen isn't in residence because she has to carry the sovereign seal, which is the harp at all times. And I think it's time that came out. And, you know, and we talked here about the University of Limerick, which I lived down there, and my family gave Willibank. So the Willibank was, you know, where we mentioned GHQ Vaughan's Hotel in Dublin, which my family bought for, you know, the War of Independence. It was the headquarters of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And there's all these tunnels going underneath it from the rotunda up to Vaughan's Hotel. Those tunnels were there. The gentry who built those Georgian houses, it was Rutland Square at the time. And apparently they used to use those tunnels going up. There was a red light district in Monto, which was famous red light district, and the gentry didn't want to be seen going up there, and they used to use those tunnels going up and down there. And I met a man on Easter Monday up there, and he told me that when he was a child, he said they used to go up and they used to go down those tunnels. Now, I said about, you know, all the Vaughan's Hotel papers were given to the University of Limerick. Willibank was where I lived. And it was, I said, it was founded on the, that's where the peace, reconciliation and prosperity process was founded, down there by the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood in 1950. And my father went to Rome, the Pope, on that. And that was the first time that Rome you recognize the state, the sovereign republic of Era. And, you know, to set up a university as a technological university, we're talking about 1950. Well, there were very few people talking about computers and that in 1950, I can tell you, here anyway, probably in America there were. But it was to teach young people, to give them an education. And, you know, a proper work ethos rather than academia. And that's what they set up. And Willibank is where I lived. Now, when Vaughan's Hotel, my Tom, of course, he was poisoned in 1925. And my father then, it was my uncles and my grandfather. And my grandfather, they took over. And then my granduncle James took over, and when he died, my father took over, and I inherited it from my father in 1964. And we lived in Willibank, and all the Vaughan's Hotel papers, and all the records of what happened, and all the records what happened in 1916, and all the memorabilia, the children of the press, the printing press, that was all done down those tunnels. And the RIC could never find them because they, you know, we would not have bought Vaughan's Hotel. We had a room for Mrs. Vaughan, the Irish Republican, Fenian Republican Brotherhood, up to 1916. And as I said, in 1913, when the UVF army was founded, and I said, you know, my granduncle Tom was sent to Calcutta in India to collect the intelligence on the ground forces. And Sam was sent to the post office in London, and all the ground forces, all the information came through Sam Maguire's, who was Church of Ireland, and he was trained for the British civil servants. And as a result of that, and every Saturday he brought all that intelligence to Vaughan's Hotel. But at that stage we only had a room from Mrs. Vaughan at that, you know, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. So my family bought it then in 1917 as the headquarters. It was the headquarters, but they had to have it as a complete unit. And I think it's very sad that you know, on Easter Monday, and I wrote to Simon Coveney, his father was the one who, that was part of the peace and reconciliation process, and it was very important. First and second Dáil Éireann. Now, Dáil Éireann never sat in Leinster House. It's the Royal Dáil and the Royal Oireachtas that sits in Leinster House. And you go into that era, the Free State, and Bulmer Hobson, who taught me all this, and Kathleen Clark, who taught me all this about the Irish Republic, and all those, there was lots of people there in the Irish, and Dear McLinch, who was a great, you know, he taught me all about, he was the one who took down the tricolour flag from the GPO. And, you know, at that stage, you see, the plan was up Moore Street, this was the plans on the Irish, they're in the Vaughan Chappelle papers, that they would go up Moore Street. The reason they were going up Moore Street was to go down those tunnels at the Rotunda, which was just across the road from it. And the Crown forces blocked them there, so they couldn't get down the tunnels. That's what happened them. And if they could get down those tunnels, they would have escaped, because, and it would have been to all the safe houses. And that was the plan for 1916. And if you don't understand what I said about who paid for all those German guns for the UBF army, because Guinness is Lord Rothschild, they were the principal bearer. There was other people as well, but they were the ones. And they all got, by the British government, I mean, they all got huge contracts and all that. And Sir Roger Casement got executed for doing the same thing. You know, it's very unfair. And it's, you can't understand 1916 and what happened. And this thing, we had no mandate. That was the mandate. If Guinnesses hadn't paid for those guns and Lord Rothschild and Rupert Kipling hadn't paid for those guns, and they didn't become the UVF army, there would have been no rising. You know, and as a consequence of that, as I said, the intelligence officers reported to the executive of the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood what happened. And they found that the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizens Army as a defence force. Now, the whole point was that we would have a sovereign government. And that's what we came in, then my family came in, then we bought Vaughan Chappelle and we donated a lot of money so that for the 32 county election of 1918. And as I said, we would not have bought Vaughan Chappelle without those tunnels underneath, because you couldn't operate with the RIC going up and down to Vaughan Chappelle. That's how they were using it and going up. And we wouldn't have won the 1918 32 county election. And we wouldn't have won the War of Independence, Ogden Hearn. And we have to understand very clearly that Sinn Féin is the political wing of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. That's the mandate we have and we hold. And Ogden Hearn is the military wing that we won the War of Independence, all 32 counties. You must understand that Dáil Éireann is a 32 county mandate, and that's what I hold as president of the Irish and Fianna Republican Brotherhood. And this thing about, you know, there's so many splits in Sinn Féin, has nothing to do with the Sinn Féin of 1918, 32 county election. That's where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael all came out of. And that money that was collected in America, James McGuire, who was chairman of Friends of Irish Freedom in America, he collected all that money. And all that money was misappropriated, well, most of it anyway was misappropriated here for setting up Cumann na Gael and setting up Fine Gael and setting up Fianna Fáil. And you have a splinter group of many Sinn Féins. And the whole thing is they don't recognize the Irish or Fenian Republican Brotherhood who founded the state, put up the tricolour flag, they just use it. And it's a desecration if you read the proclamation. And you read the proclamation, and on that you see, having organized and trained her manhood through her secret revolutionary organization, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. That's who wrote the proclamation. It was written, they were all written in the proclamation, and was printed in, as you know, the Hall. So there's no doubt about who. And we declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies to be sovereign and indefeasible. And I've been explaining to you about sovereignty, and I've explained to you about royalty and the difference between the two. And if you don't understand that, which most people, and during 1916 and 2016, the commemoration here, they left out RTE, which is the broadcasting corporation here, They never, when they referred to the proclamation, you saw various people, actors, reading this and that, but they always left out having organized and trained her men who were a secret revolutionary organization, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They would not mention that. And here you've never seen a member of the Royal Dáil and the Royal Loftus reading the proclamation, because it's treason under the crown. And, you know, Michael D. Higgins is the provisional and usurper president, which is referred to here, of the 26 counties, under, and his allegiance is to the Crown of England. It's not to the Sovereign Republic of Ireland. And if you look at it and you read down, you'll see, you'll see down where we prayed that no one who serves that cause will dishonor it by cowardice, inhumanity, or rapine. And sure, they all do. You know, and I think, and you know, when the Queen came over here and laid the wreath at the Garden of Remembrance, and the reason the Garden of Remembrance is there because Fawn's Hotel looks out onto the Garden of Remembrance. It's 29 Parnell Square in Granby Rose, I said. And that took 10 years with the House of Lords, you know, negotiated with the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And the Earl of Harrington was appointed to liaise with the Irish Republican Brotherhood so that that would happen. But she's doing it. I mean, it was predicated on a truth commission to come out, for all that information to come out. And that information about, you know, I said about King George V. You see, where are they getting their sovereignty from? And they're getting it from the harp. That's where they're getting it from, but they won't tell you that. And that's what's so important. And with their empire and that, I mean, and it still should come out, and it should be come out now when we're in Europe. And they're using our, and I have a feeling that Michael D. Higgins, the time he went to Windsor Castle that time on the state visit, that all that was arranged at that, because I gave out to, well, he doesn't talk to me, but, and I know him for since a long time, since we, I mean, he was originally from Limerick, and he would be older than I, but I remember him very well, and his family, and because he lived out in Market and Fergus, his belly car, which is Anthony Johnson. And I met them down at the university, and his wife was a nice person. And I was given, I gave out about them taking our tricolour flag. And they said, oh no, we didn't take your tricolour flag. This is, we took a fourth colour. They put a gold braiding round our tricolour flag and took it to Windsor Castle. And that's a British admiralty, gold braiding around our tricolour flag regardless.
That's one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Billy. I've been recently told that the American flag has also the gold fringe around it.
Well, I can't. Well, you see, the Crown of England regards Americans as subjects to the Crown. And they regard, and I always ask Americans, where are you getting your sovereignty from? And they say, from the Constitution. And, well, you don't get your sovereignty. You get your sovereignty from God. And I had that last week in Galway University when they had a conference there, and I was there on the Sunday. And it came up at the conference, and there was a professor there trying to maintain that it was a man-made construct. It's not a man-made construct. The Constitution is a man-made construct, but sovereignty is from God. And that's how you understand all your being and your five senses. And the first four strings are earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. And that's, the Queen has nine strings up on the coat of arms. And we have the sovereign Trinity, and the Queen has nine, and she claims to be a Dia and one drop, that she's equal to God. And of course she's not. And if you take, the Constitution, and you take your own American Constitution, where it came from, comes from Britain, and that was restricting the king, and that's where it comes. But sovereignty comes from God, and sovereignty is from the heart, and that's where it comes from. And all these countries going in and fighting and everything else, you know, we should really understand where sovereignty comes from, and that's where our ancestors say. You can go right back in that. You know, how did Tutankhamun build his sovereign seal, the first two fingers, the harp sign? and then you turn this common third finger, and that represents the world. And I told you how it works, and with light and shade, and how it grows our bio and biomass, and you know, and you can do it. The sundial, the compass, the wheel, you know, they're all part of that. And it's just a string, and the stick is the Om stick, which is written in Om, which is you just put down the stick and you wheel and you make your circle. And once you're in that circle, the sun is coming up. So you know where east is, you know where south is, you know where west is, and you know that north is behind you. All our ancestors had that information, you know. And I think any child without that information today, it mightn't be very important, and you're not going to go back to sort of, you know, this technology has moved on. But all that technology comes from that. And that's where it comes from. And all your education comes from that. And I think it's important that you just understand that. Once you understand that, everything falls into line for you. And you know where the sun is. You know where it's 12 noon. You know the seasons and the sundial, the compass, the wheel, the string, the plumb line, how the two moon built the pyramids of Egypt. You see the walls. You know, you put the harp up to that. You put the two harps together. You've all the Celtic designs. How men learn to write. We write across and, you know, Japan and that, they use the hieroglyphics. And it's so simple. Every child in the world can understand that. And it's all about your being and how you understand planet Earth and how you understand your relation to planet Earth. And that's what it's all about. Rather than, all of these empires and that, enslaving people. And we enslave people today, with taxes and other things and that. And I think and people are put under pressure in that. And I don't think that is correct. And I think we have the answers there and we have the solutions, but we're not being allowed to understand them, you know. Anyway, Stephen, that's me.
Well, yeah, Billy, I wanted to digress a little bit, Billy. You mentioned Rudyard Kipling earlier. Did he have something to do with the revolution?
Rupert Kipling. Yes, he was the one who he gave 50,000 to buy those German guns that the UVF army bought. I mean, why? That is what caused 1916. Who paid for those German guns? Who paid for them? It was and it was those people that I mentioned. Guinness is Lord Rothschild. If you don't understand that you can't understand 1916, and they all talked, there was no mandate. There was everybody mandate, because every civilization has ever had, and all those religions, and the Presbyterian people are out first to say that you have a right to defend yourself. And we had a right to defend ourselves, being wiped out by the UVF army. And in 1914, they declared war on Britain and Ireland. Home rule was imposed by the British government. And that's where that piece is deliberately left out by all those historians and everything else. But they're the facts. And if you leave out those facts, and if you leave out the facts that of the Vaughan's Hotel papers, which none of those, all those films and documentaries that were made by RTE and others for the 2016 rising, which some of them are quite good in that, but they're propaganda, lies, and deception. And why can't they tell the truth? And if you don't read the Vaughan's Hotel papers, which included all the, you know, the plans for 1916 and for the War of Independence, and 1916 was one aspect of it. The whole aspect was a sovereign government, and that sovereign government was the 21st of January 1919. As I said, in GHQ Vaughan's Hotel, in the cabinet room by the mansion, in the mansion house, by the Supreme Council, the executive of the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and in the round room by the Sovereign Republic of Erin, Sovereign Dáil-Éireann government, and then in the four courts. And you'll see the Sovereign Trinity up in the four courts, and they're not even properly aligned. It should be the Sovereign Seal, the sonship, because the sun still rises in the east, regardless what those great judges say, and the tricolour on the Om stick and the harp of the psaltery. and to have it the other way around.
Well, for goodness, don't let the Irish Prime Minister hear you say that, though, Billy.
Why not? I said it often enough, but he doesn't listen. It's a scandal that it's not. And I always remember, because my father brought the Kennedys here and brought Ted Kennedy here and John Fitzgerald Kennedy. You know, they lived in County Limerick. At least the Fitzgeralds did.
Did they?
Kennedy. Well, the Fitzgeralds did. They had a farm there in Lochgar, near Lochgar, out there near Brough. And I remember when Ted Kennedy, they came first, you know, and his father was the ambassador.
Joseph.
And my father had contact with them, and my father brought them over for the peace and reconciliation prospect. But I remember the time that there's a photograph there, if you went to BillyMaguire.com, of Ted Kennedy, and my father gave him a cannonball from the siege of Limerick, and he gave, what else did he give him? He gave him quite a few things when he came here first. He came first before the visit. But you'll see John Fitzgerald Kennedy, brought him up to Arbor Hill, where all are. They're the Irish Republican Brotherhood members that were executed in 1916, are buried, except for the Roger Casement and Anthony Rowan. There's two of them not buried there. But anyway, you'll see him looking up at the top of the wall, and Michael Biggs spent four and a half years in hail, rain, and snow, carving the proclamation and in on the wall in Irish and English, you know, in stone. And the Sovereign Trinity was to be put over that, and they wouldn't do it. The Civil War came in, and the Civil War politics wouldn't put up the Sovereign Trinity. And you will see, because my father had John Fitzgerald Kennedy well tuned in, and he's looking up at the top of the wall, see where the Sovereign Trinity is. And when they bring him into the Royal Dáil and the Royal Oireachtas that sits in Leinster House, you see him looking up to see where the Sovereign Seal is. And of course, they put it on the seat in the Royal Oireachtas, that you have to turn your back on the Sovereign Seal and be subject to the Crown of England. And these are dreadful things that they should sort out now. And as I said, the Queen's visit, which was very important, that took 10 years to negotiate with the Irish. But it was totally betrayed in the end. The University of Limerick, they got at Willibank, where all the, and the carpenter was Billy Maloney. When in 1925, when Tom died, my grandfather took over. And then my granduncle James took over. James McGraw. And, when he died, then my father took over. But then when my grand aunt died, my father couldn't run the family businesses and that, and, you know, look after all the Vauntertel and all that. So he brought the Vauntertel papers back to Limerick, down to Arthur's Quay, which was our business, main business in Limerick. And they were up there for a long time. And then Willibank, that's where I grew up, which is now part of the university. A beautiful old house. You can see it on BillyMaguire.com. And the carpenter was Billy Maloney. And there's a carpenter and electrician in those old places in those times, who worked in the business as well. And he was sent out to, you know, do the attics. There was two valleys in Willibank, and he strengthened all that, and all the Vauntertel papers and that were put up there. And there was an old, it was known as the butler's pantry. It was sort of a house. There's a house across from the back door where the butler in the olden times used to live. And there was, you know, one of the printing presses was there, and Collins's bicycle cycle around the yard. You know, you put your leg in under the bar as a child and cycle around. And, you know, lots of the memorabilia and that were kept there. And, anyway, my father spent his whole life, and my mother, and there was a small group of people wanted to try and get the University for Limerick, you know. People were they were going off to work with just a shovel on their back to England and places and going to America with no education whatsoever. And so the Irish Republican Brothers, they founded, as I said, that the University of Limerick. For Limerick and Tipperary as a technological university in 1950, it was started with those people came together. There were some great people there. who did that. And but anyway, when it came to my father was dead at this time. He died in 64. So my mother said, look to Brendan O'Regan, who was the, and his father, James O'Regan, who was chairman, they owned the old ground in Henderson, they owned the falls in down in the hotel. And he was chairman of the Ennis County Council. Of course, James McGuire, he would be another one of us. He was the MP for at the time, and they got the seat for Eamon de Valera. And the Armills in Crewe is where de Valera's uncle Pa Col worked. And of course, there's links there how we got all that. But it anyway, I'm talking about the university. And so that's where the Peace, Reconciliation and Prosperity process was founded. And that was very successful. That led to, you know, Northern Ireland. That led to my father and Kennedy's. And I remember the row anyway, when John Fitzgerald Kennedy came, De Valera wouldn't let, he didn't want the word press. You see, Brewery was where De Valera came from. And he lived in a cottage there, which was in very bad, on the landlord's estate, Atkinson's. They owned a brewery, and he's supposed to be active. He knows all about the history of De Valera.
What's that?
But anyway,
Billy, I have a question for you.
Yes?
We have a scheduled station break in about 2 minutes, and I would graciously like to get you back on at the beginning of the hour, if you would like to. There is going to be about a 7-minute break.
Hold on. Well, it's 9 o'clock now. Will we hold till next Sunday and do it again? Because, as you know, I've only got a mobile phone.
Yes.
And it could go off at any minute. And so we can continue on next week, if you like. Although I'll be in Dublin. Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be Dublin next week is the 24th. It's the actual 100th anniversary. So we'll read our proclamation at the GPO and the Sovereign Constitution. They're the foundation documents of the state, the proclamation and the Sovereign Constitution. And would you believe in Galway University last week in the university, in the law school, they never had seen the Sovereign Constitution before. And as I said, we have 5 governments and 5 constitutions. And sure, we can do that next week. It's great that we can actually, you know, link up. That be a better idea?
Well, certainly we can do that.
Yeah. And you'll have a recording anyway. I won't know, but you can go through it, and you have this recorded, I presume.
Yes.
So we know where we stopped, and we know where we're to go on from.
Certainly.
And I'm going to Dublin, and I'll be back anyway. I don't know what time I'll be back at, but I have my mobile phone anyway. We can chat away. I'll be coming down the train.
Okay.
And you'll be part of the 100th anniversary, which is on that day. Easter Monday was the 24th of April. It's on next Sunday.
Okay.
And we can continue on if that suits you.
Well, certainly. We can do that. And I...
All right, David. And thank you very much. And thank all your listeners. And you know, if I can answer any questions, I will.
All right.
Thank you indeed.
Thank you, Billy, for coming on.
Good night, Stephen.
Good night.
Your listeners.
We'll be right back after these messages, everyone.